today we begin a series looking at the revised mission statement of Antioch Presbyterian Church. This process began with a session last year in an effort to clearly define who we are, what we are for, and to discern who God wants us to be in our particular context. Our old mission statement was sound, but generic, not memorable, and slightly patronizing. By August of last year, the session determined that the word family strongly described who Antioch Presbyterian is. Not only do we have many people in here who are literally family, extended, related to one to another, but not only do we have multiple generations of families, but we strive to be an extended family of faith. We strive to be family with each other, even those who are not related by any kind of blood or in-lawship. This past winter, we identified two more core values: helping others and religion. So we rewrote the mission statement based on these three core values: family, religion, and helping others, and summarized it into a memorable tagline which appears on your shirts, which Sally's wearing hers today: one faith, one family, serving all. That reflects those three core values. At the same time, everything that we do, everything that we say, needs to be guided and informed by Scripture. So we looked at several different passages that lifted up one or more of these core values. What does the Bible have to say about family? What does the Bible have to say about religion? What does the Bible have to say about helping others? And we landed on Acts 10:2, which you heard in context this morning, that he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. This verse contains all three of those core values: religion, family, and helping others. And this verse, we know now in context, is talking about a Roman centurion named Cornelius and his family, Gentiles who were doing their best to live God's will in God's way. So today we look at that verse in context. And first we want to think about what are core values. What does it mean that we say religion and family and helping others are core values? Well, core values are those default mode by which we operate. They reflect the things that we hold most precious. For Antioch as a church, these values are the things that, regardless of the changes the church goes through, that these are the things that we hope won't change, that we want to preserve, that we want to keep, that we want to identify us as Antioch. The way that we express these values may change over time, but not necessarily the values themselves. For example, we highly value helping others. So traditionally, the way that we have expressed that as a church is by doing lots of fundraisers to benefit the community. Perhaps in the future, a way that we reflect helping others would be having 10% of our general budget be dedicated to mission and outreach. Or maybe we would have different events that are more hands-on instead of just raising money. The value of helping others will remain the same. We want that to remain the same. We want to say that we are a church that values helping others. Another of our values, for example, is religion. And one of the ways that we express that as a value is in church participation and church attendance. But what if we also lived out that value through having more opportunities to focus on corporate prayer? Antioch's values may or may not be your personal core values. They might be similar, but yours might be somewhat different. For example, we all did a core values exercise for ourselves before we looked at the church. And my top three core values are integrity, respect, and truth. Notice they're not the same as family, religion, and helping others. That's not to say that they're necessarily incompatible with Antioch's core values. Sometimes our core values do conflict even within ourselves, but we have to decide which value is more important for that particular situation. Sometimes we have to put the good of the whole before our own personal good. Core values can change over time, but usually they do through a change in the stage of life, or a lot of thought, or maybe new revelation. But they're not something that are easily discarded, because they are that default mode by which we operate, and they're important. I mean, they're values, therefore they're important. So for us, of course, the easiest core value for us to identify was indeed family. It was unanimous right from the get-go. Family was important. We see in the scripture today, it was very important to Cornelius too. Towards the end of our reading, when Peter was coming, he knew that Peter was going to come. He had faith that Peter was going to come. So he went ahead and invited all of his friends and relatives to be there when Peter arrived, so that everybody could hear the message that Peter had to say. And of course, our key verse, Acts 10:2, says that he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. And Peter included his servants as part of his household. They were considered members of the household. In fact, it was a trusted, God-fearing servant that he sent along with two others to go and get Peter. They were all part of his family. Cornelius was not just a leader in the Italian regiment, he was a leader in his home. He led his family in the ways of the Lord. Now, we don't know if Peter was the first one who came to know Jesus, or if it was his wife or one of his men, but when he came to know Jesus, he took on that leadership role. He made it important for him to live that out in his family. He sought the Lord, not just personally, but on behalf of his household. Our culture today constantly is redefining family, and especially fathers. We have marginalized the importance of fathers in the home. We've even said that fathers aren't necessarily necessary. And yet there's a good deal of sociological evidence that fathers play a vitally important role in the lives of their children, especially in two-parent intact homes. Young men whose fathers take an active role in their lives are less likely to end up in gangs. Girls whose fathers take an active role in their lives are less likely to be sexually promiscuous. Children in general are likely to do better in school. And the Bible tells us that fathers are very important, that they are to be the head of the home, that they are to be the primary spiritual educators of their children, that they are to lead in exemplifying love. So at Antioch, one of the ways we want to lift up the core value of family is to help equip families to live for the Lord. Jesus also redefined family. When told that his mother and brothers and sisters were waiting for him outside, Jesus said, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." When Jesus ate the Last Supper with his disciples, he also redefined family, including his disciples as family members, since Passover meals were commonly celebrated in family groups. Jesus says, "I have longed to share the supper with you." He wanted them to know that they were members of his family. All believers in Jesus Christ are members of God's family and are family with one another. We can serve as extended family members to those whose biological families are scattered or who are otherwise cut off from their families. Donna shared a story this morning that a church is doing a graduation celebration for one of their students at the community center because they see him as part of their family, and he has become part of their family, so they gather together to celebrate his achievement. And he sounds like somebody who hasn't had a lot of biological family support, and so his church has become family for him. We want to do the same thing. Whenever somebody is baptized, everybody takes a vow to help nurture that person in the faith. That's part of what it means to be a family, that I have a right to teach you about Jesus, to speak into your life, to guide you, to show you the way that God wants you to go. We are called to help one another in times of need, to support one another in times of grief, and to celebrate with one another in times of joy. So where do you see yourself fitting in to the family of Antioch Presbyterian Church? The second core value that the session identified was religion. And religion can be a loaded word. I prefer the word piety, but piety can also be a loaded word. So I asked the session to define, what do you mean when you say religion? Because it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So we would all be on the same page to mean when we say we value religion, what does that mean? So we defined religion as the individual and corporate practice of our Christian faith. The individual and corporate practice of our Christian faith. That's where the one faith comes from in our tagline. In Acts 10:2, again, we see that Cornelius is a religious man. He is described as devout, a God-fearer, one who gives alms generously to the poor, and a man of prayer. We know that Cornelius took time to listen to God in prayer and recognized when the Lord was speaking to him. That means he spent enough time to know what God's voice sounded like when God spoke. God spoke, came through an angel, and he recognized that it was an angel from God, not a demon or some other strange voice or not something in his head, but something that he needed to pay attention to. Just shows that if you're going to know when God speaks, you've got to spend time with God. Because if you don't, you're not going to recognize when God speaks. Obviously, the Holy Spirit was at work in Cornelius' life long before he knew about the person of the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord spoke to Cornelius, he obeyed immediately. He didn't argue with God. He didn't wait around to try to figure out what it meant. He obeyed when God spoke. Cornelius already knew God, and God already knew Cornelius. When Cornelius and his family receive the Holy Spirit and are baptized, they are welcomed into the extended family of faith. They become part of the family. The Bible describes what vain religion is as going through rituals and rites without meaning it, and doing so apart from a relationship with God and apart from it having an effect on your life. Because we can do a lot of religious stuff, but if we're not changed by it, it has no presence of God with it. James 1 says this in verses 26 and 27. If anyone considers himself religious and yet doesn't keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Our words and our actions toward others are a prime indicator of whether or not we are practicers of true religion, not necessarily our church attendance and the rituals that we do. Our spiritual disciplines are valuable if there are means by which we spend time with our Lord, spend time getting to know Him, developing our relationship, and developing habits that reflect the character of Jesus. Otherwise, we just go through the motions. In our text today, we also see that not only was Cornelius very religious, but Peter is very religious. Peter also has a close relationship with Jesus. But as he hears the Lord speak in prayer, he's confronted with how he has used religion as an excuse to justify his sin of racism. Peter had considered the Gentiles an unclean people whom he should stay away from, even though he was staying in the house of a man who was also considered unclean, as tanners were, even though that he had already seen that Jesus accepted the Samaritan people and he had been working among them. Still, those Gentiles, they're just too different I don't want to have anything to do with them. And so God confronts Peter with his sin. But because Peter is a man of prayer, he also knows how to listen to God speak. And so God is able to confront Peter in a vision, even though Peter doesn't understand right away. But Peter also knows that whatever it is that God has shown him, he has to obey it. So when he gets to Cornelius's house, he realizes what that vision was all about, that God accepts people on the basis of faith. God wants us to be holy, set apart from the world, and set apart to God for service. But God doesn't want us to be holier than thou, thinking that we are better than others because of our beliefs and our behaviors. In the Old Testament, the rulers and the religious leaders thought that keeping the sacrifices and the Jewish festivals would please God, even as they took advantage of the poor and were greedy. Well, God was not pleased with their little rituals. God cares more about how people treat one another, and God cares about our heart conditions before God. God wants humble-hearted worshipers. So let us be careful not to use religion as a means to justify sinful prejudices and practices. How do you practice your religion? What disciplines are helpful for you to get to know God? How do you participate in the corporate practice of faith? And what difference does it make in your life? Are you using religion in any harmful ways or as an excuse not to be obedient to a command that God has given you? Sometimes we can do that. God might be telling us something, like God told Peter and Cornelius, and both of them obeyed immediately. But we might say, well, I'm doing this instead, God. Can't you see this other great thing that I'm doing? I mean, it's something that you say to do. But if God has told you to do X and you're doing Y, just because you think Y is good, you're not doing what God wants. So we have to be careful to listen to what God is telling us to do and to obey. Our third core value that we identified is helping others. Cornelius practiced this in being generous in giving aid to the poor. It didn't matter who the poor were or why they were poor. He was joyfully generous. We also know how to be joyfully generous when it comes to helping others. Last week, 16 of us went over to First Pres for Stop Hunger Now, and I think we had a pretty good time putting together those meals. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun doing something that we knew was helping to others, getting to know each other a little better, laughing, talking, and saving lives. There have been times when this church, Antioch Presbyterian, knows how to put the fun in fundraisers. We've done some really fun things to help people through different events where we have raised money for good causes in our community. But we also want to value helping others in quiet ways as well, on an individual basis and within our own community. And I hope as individuals in our daily lives, we take that value of helping others outside these doors. Helping others is far more than just offering monetary help. It is lending a hand or an ear. It is providing education or godly advice. It is giving encouragement or direction. It is gently rebuking and holding one another accountable. It is many different ways that we provide aid to others. How do you practice helping others? Would you describe yourself as joyfully generous? And how have you received help from Antioch Presbyterian Church? Though religion, family, and helping others might not be your exact core values, I hope that you can recognize that they are an important part to the identity of this particular congregation. I hope that you will continue to live into them, that you will consider them, especially when difficult decisions have to be made. May this church be known as filled with devout people who fear God, who give generously, and who pray to God always. May Antioch Presbyterian Church be one that truly embodies one faith, one family, serving all. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this community of faith that we call Antioch Presbyterian Church. We thank you for a place to be family, a place where we can practice our Christian faith and grow in what it means to be a follower of Jesus as we practice together with each other and on our own. We thank you that this is a place known for helping others, that we might be small in number, but we can do mighty things. We can do important things to help our community, to be there for one another, and to even impact the world. Lord, may we live into this mission that we have, been given by you to be part of your kingdom in this community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together and affirm our faith using the Westminster.